please pray with me? Lord, as we come before you and come to your word to us, give us receptive hearts and minds, and help us to receive from you your truth. But Lord, we know we can't do this without your Holy Spirit. I can't preach without your Holy Spirit. Without your Holy Spirit enlivening things, it is just words and thoughts and information. But with your Holy Spirit, everything changes. Change us. Use us and move us forward as your people. We pray for your close presence with people who are struggling today, who are hurting, who carry wounds, who are fearful in this time of enormous change. We pray for people who need intervention physically, bodies in need of healing and strength. We pray for the family and friends of Judy Shaw as they grieve her death. Oh God, the amount of things and people and issues to pray for is very long. So we ask that you will move in ways full of grace and truth and full of mercy and love. We pray for Tyler and Solid Rock as they seek your will, as they seek your help to raise up a new generation of leaders strong in their identity in Christ. Use Tyler and others in beautiful ways. We pray for our newly elected leaders from the local level to the White House. God, give them wisdom deeper than what was shown on the campaign. And may they pursue what is right and just and true. Now we offer ourselves to you. Open us, speak to us, and may all that I say as I preach give you the honor and glory. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. And I'll read from verses 8 through 16. Finally, all of you, be like-minded and sympathetic. Love one another. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever among you would love life and see good days must keep your tongue from evil and your lips from deceitful speech. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. One of the huge challenges that I face as a pastor is to get invited into a fight, like into a family fight, a family feud. Husband versus wife, parent versus child, people who share the same space, hoping and intending to go in the same direction, who are angry and hurt and dug in. When I get called in like this, or when people meet with me in my study, there are layers and layers of things beyond view. History is unknown to me, and it comes out like buckshot. He said, she said, he did, she did. Oh yeah, oh yeah, well you did this, well you did that. Well you need to grow up. No, you do. You need to apologize. You need to. And on it goes. More than likely you've been in your own version of a fight like that. A lot of people have. They happen. And family fights are awful. They are just awful. And they don't always end well, like with a tender Hallmark movie sort of conclusion, as the sun goes down and all's well. Hurts, fears, remembered words, and remembered wounds, they leave their marks, don't they? Well, I have to say that it feels like our nation has had a multi-year family fight. And it's not over. The election's over, but the strain and the hurt, that's not. People sharing the same space, hoping and intending, often praying to be going in the same direction and working hard at this. But there are layers and layers of stuff that have been moved to the forefront. And with those layers, there are hurts that are very real. And there are fears that are very real. And there are awful things that have been said and done. And deep marks have been left. This long political season that we've been in has not just been some little spat that came up. It's been like a sprawling and public family fight with a lot of dark and dirty and ugly things. And it helps no one at all if people now take the posture of, well, just get over it. It is what it is. Let's all just move forward together. That may seem fine if you're not the one who's been hurt or fearful or frustrated, but think of how those words work in a family fight. They come across as demeaning and top down. As one commentator wrote, we are a far more divided society than we realize. Americans now seem more clannish and more incomprehensible to each other than ever before. The article is titled, Let's Not Do This Again. And that seems to sum up a lot, doesn't it? Let's not do this again. Let's be better than this. Because I don't know of anyone who claims that this election cycle has been enjoyable or healthy for everyone concerned. For everyone. It's torn a lot of things apart, and there's been a darker side revealed. And now here we are trying to figure out how to stitch back relationships and hold on to and pursue what's most important when so many people can't even agree on what's most important politically or socially. And we here in this church, we are a very diverse group. We're all across the board. I've been in conversation all week long. But we are held together by Jesus. And thanks be to God that we have the Word of God. The Bible. We have this word to lean on and draw from and use for navigation in these swirling political storms, this family fight. Thanks be to God that we have His word, which when we genuinely receive it, reading it, absorbing it, praying it, pondering it, among so many other things, God's word does these two things with us. First of all, it points us to a firm place to stand and a steady path to follow. A firm place to stand and a steady path to follow. The Word of God, this truth we can hold in our hands and read with our eyes and hear with our ears and memorize in our minds and absorb. It doesn't fade into irrelevance with time like that's just an old word from a long time ago. It's living. And when we receive it, letting it sink deeply into us, it literally transforms who we are and where we're going. That's one thing God's Word does. It gives us a firm place to stand and a steady path to follow on which we are transformed by Him. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 119, a verse that some of you probably memorized when you were little. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And so it is. Secondly, God's word pushes hard against many of the currents swirling around us and those rising up within us. It pushes hard against the currents swirling around us and rising up within us. St. Augustine, back in the 4th century, he put it like this. Man is a great depth, O God. You number his hairs, but the hairs of his head are by far easier to count than his feelings, the dark movements of the heart. God's word speaks into those dark movements of the heart, into those things that feed into and fuel things like pride and clannishness and hardness of heart toward others, especially those who are quite different than we are. Currents in our culture that have now been exposed, like racism and hateful speech and the abuse of others, we know those are present. And that there are people on the fringe right now who are emboldened to let loose with this. It's in the news every day, like those three area schools where there was hateful graffiti sprayed in our area. God's Word and God's Holy Spirit stand firm against those dark, hurtful things. And God calls us to do the same, giving us a firm place to stand and a steady path to follow in all these swirling currents. He calls us to holiness. To holiness. It was about 2 months ago that I picked this text. I didn't pick it because of this season we're in right now. I picked it because 1 Peter is what many of us will be reading in this community Bible experience this coming week. And if you haven't read 1 Peter, or if you're not in a Bible study group that's going to be reading through it, I can't encourage you strongly enough. It's a short letter. It's about 5 chapters long, maybe 20 minutes of reading at most. Among so much else in this letter, a main theme that Peter works is the encouragement to live holy lives. And just to be clear here, holy living does not mean being sequestered off in the woods somewhere with our fingers in our ears and just praying all day long. That's not it at all. And that's not what Peter wrote about in this letter. Holy living means actually employing what we receive from God's Word. It means praying for God to conform us to His Word. For us to be conformed to His Word, and for our lives, by His grace, to cultivate what is good. The things of God that are good in this world. Cultivating, as in preparing the ground and raising a crop. Doing all that we can to grow that which gives God the glory. Cultivating the good of what God desires. It's a combination of what one of our pietist forebears put this way, God's glory, neighbor's good. God's glory, neighbor's good. That's the direction of holy life. And so earlier on in the letter, Peter wrote this. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You're God's special possession. That you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you're the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And so live it. That's an important description for us to have in mind as the church. As the body of Christ walking in this world right now. As followers of Jesus in this torn and strained place. To remember that God has chosen us and called us to be holy. To be cultivators of His goodness. He's called us not just to settle in and enjoy His blessings just for ourselves and for those we already love. One of the things Jesus railed against in His preaching was insulated living. Walling out those who we don't like or those who are different or those who are hurting. God's call on us as we seek to follow Jesus is an outward call. It's an outward call. It's to carry the goodness that we've received by grace, to carry it out to the sidewalks and streets and classrooms, and to those who are afraid and hurt and angry, and to come alongside of them and actually to see them and hear them and learn and listen and to love them. So I want to come back to our text again just briefly and read the first half of it. But before I read it, Peter used a word at the very beginning of this text that sounds really common, but it's really an unusual word in the Greek text. Finally. And it's not at all as if he's just giving the last item on a laundry list. Well, my final point is this. It's not like that at all. It's more like, here's the bottom line. Here's the bottom line. If you forget everything else, remember this. Finally. That's the intention here. And so he wrote, finally, all of you, be like-minded. Be sympathetic. Love one another. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult for insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. Because to this you are called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. That first sentence is amazing. All of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. And on the text rolls. We need to memorize this. We need to have this imprinted in our hearts, in our minds. We need to have this taped onto our computer screens and phones whenever we want to send out some snarky and poison-tipped comment. Because this is not the way of the world that we just read about here. We see that day by day in the news. But this is the way of Christ. This is the way of a holy life. That this is a firm place to stand and a steady path to follow. This is God's word that pushes hard against those currents swirling around us and swirling up from within us, those dark movements of the heart. To live this way is to live in the direction of cultivating the good. So I recently read that one of the very best things that any one of us can do these days as followers of Jesus is this. Intentionally seek to build a relationship with someone who right now is in a very different place than you are. Whether that means politically, socially, ethnically, spiritually, or some other difference. Someone who sees things, feels things, interprets things very differently than you do. But to only do this with a posture of humility and love. Not for any other reason. It's not to persuade others or change them. It's to love them with the love of Christ, full of grace. It's to intentionally step in the direction Peter described in this passage of doing good, seeking peace, and pursuing it with other people. I just finished David Brooks' book, The Road to Character. And it is one of the best books I've read in years. He's not writing from a posture of explicit faith, but he certainly could be. In the introduction, he writes about people who we sometimes encounter who carry with them grace and humility and love in ways that can catch us by surprise. They're often at the back of the line. They're not at the mic or in the spotlight or out at the front. They're often hard to even spot. But they are beautiful gifts that bless our lives. And he describes them like this. And then we'll close. They radiate a sort of moral joy. They answer softly when challenged harshly. They are silent when unfairly abused. They are dignified when others try to humiliate them, restrained when others provoke them. But they get things done. They perform acts of service with the same modesty, modest everyday spirit they would display if they were just getting groceries. They are not thinking about what impressive work they are doing. They're not thinking about themselves at all. These are people who have built a strong inner character, who have achieved a certain depth, a depth of soul. May we all of us together live in this direction, gaining a depth of soul and going against the currents in this world that are so dark and hurtful. And may we all of us, be welcoming and open and humbly seeking relationships with others, especially people who are fearful and afraid and have been wounded and abused and who carry huge anxieties about what might happen next. So many people wonder if there really is love to be found in this world and if there is a solid place to stand. And sadly, so many, many people don't even think of looking to the church or to people of Christian faith because they have a bad flavor in their mouth for whatever reason. But we can be this in this world. We can be this for others as the church, as the body of Christ, as we yield our lives to His life, as we lay down those things in us that are dark and selfish and divisive, and we all have them, every one of us. And as we ask Him by His grace to help us cultivate His good in this world. Peter quoted from Psalm 34 saying, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their prayer." With this in mind, we're going to pray. But also, Pastor Anna and I, after worship, are going to be available for prayer up here for anybody who desires it. She's going to stay up here for a little bit until Soul Talk, and I will come back in after greeting a few people. And it is an invitation simply to receive prayer. Maybe about deep-dwelling fears or hurts or shame, or maybe you're feeling beat up or confused after this bruising family fight that our nation's been in, or for whatever other reasons. Maybe you can't even put a finger on it, but you know you need prayer. And you maybe don't even have to say a word when you come and sit down. But let's pray now, and then as you feel led, join us over here. God, You know that we are challenged every day with seeking to live holy lives. And we are challenged in this pursuit of cultivating good for Your glory and neighbor's good when so many other things can trigger us. And there are so many layers and layers of things all around us and within us. So by Your power, by Your grace, would You continue to transform us daily and help us to come to You, to turn to You, offering over to You all those dark movements in our souls, that we would be pure and holy, all by Your grace and all for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand as we sing.